Jogger, how are you?
Doing well, buddy. How are you today?
I am outstanding.
Perfect.
Lots happened. So yesterday I mentioned a question for you.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people's, I know what people's initial reaction would be.
Yes.
But I wonder what it, so let's say the season ends. We get into the off season. And you have to qualify your RFAs. Mm-hmm. Would the Edmonton Oilers qualify Justin Schultz at $3.9 million again?
I think so. I think they would probably give it another year. I mean, it all depends on what he does from now to the end of the season, right? So it's not like they got to make the decision right now when he's not generating any offense and hasn't really played much this year. So, I mean, really that question is more fairly asked at the end of the season when we see what he's done. They had to decide right now, I would say probably yes. They don't have much in the way of right shot defensemen. They have nothing in the way of right shot defensemen coming. And the free agent pool isn't going to yield a whole lot on that front either. So I would say we have yet to really determine what Justin Schultz is. And so I would think that they'd give it another look for another year. But and then he'd be unrestricted after that year, correct?
I have to.
Does that make sense?
Does he have 2 years left? I have to double check. You might be right on that.
RFA. So he's RFA at the end of this year. I don't know exactly the way it would work extending beyond.
He signed 2 year deal, then a 1 year deal.
You have arb rights too? How's that work?
Oh yeah. No, he would have arbitration rights, yes.
But a losing case, most likely.
Yeah, I would say. The reason I asked that question is because I'm looking at how Todd Nelson has used him now. I don't see
McClellan,
Todd McClellan, excuse me. How he is, like, he's now a guy who's where he should be. As far as third pairing minutes, even strength, plays on your power play. He's about a 17-minute-a-night guy. That's what he's going to be. I don't necessarily see how that changes moving forward because I'm just not sure, Ryan, that he has the defensive awareness to suddenly become a top-four defenseman.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that. We're not sure if he has it or not yet. And what I'd like to see is I would like to see Justin have an opportunity to play under Todd for a little bit here, play in this system for a little bit here. And, I mean, Justin is another one of those players who has suffered from the revolving door of head coaches. And what you need to do for a player like Justin Schultz is you need to give him structure and you need to give him expectations and a bare minimum that he needs to meet as far as effort level and defensive play in his own zone. And you need to give him consistency. And Justin Schultz has not had any level of consistency at all at the head coaching position in terms of the system that he's been playing in, the way he's being asked to play. Like I think that Justin would greatly benefit from the same coach year after year and the opportunity to play in the same system, the same way. So I think maybe he, and look, it's on the player, and Justin needs to be better. He's needed to be better in the past. He's known that. But what I could tell you is he put in the work over the summer and came in much better shape. It was noticeable. The head coach noticed it based on what he had been told, based on fitness results. It was unfortunate the timing of the injury, but I'd like to see Justin Schultz under Todd McClellan for a little longer and in the same system that he can be comfortable in and see what he's capable of, because he's never going to be the high-end point producer that I think people hoped he might be, but he might still be a very, very useful number four or five defenseman who can get you 25 to 35 points a year and be okay on the power play. And if he can shore it up in his own end and with a system he's comfortable with, he's definitely a redeemable player.
Yeah.
What do you think, by the way?
I don't see him as a top four defenseman ever. As especially as this organization moves forward and what they have coming up and likely what they're going to get in an acquisition sometime in the next 18 months for a defenseman. I just don't see where there's room.
It's interesting because, like, sorry to interrupt you there, but I think, I mean, if you had talked to the Nashville Predators maybe 24 months ago, I think they probably would have felt very, very similar about Ryan Ellis, that maybe they thought, okay, here's a guy that needs to shore things up in his own end and doesn't do a good enough job in his own end and not sure if he can produce the high-end enough offense to truly be a top three or four defenseman. And so it took a little bit of doing for him, and he doesn't produce a ton of points, but on a good decor, he's actually playing a reasonable number of minutes on a really good decor. And he's 24 years old now. He's a little bit younger, but I think sometimes guys can come around, and I think defensemen tend to develop maybe a little bit later. So maybe it would be worth their while to stick with them.
No, it's definitely possible. We'll have to see if the switch turns as far as maybe it's just a lack of confidence or it's just a lack of awareness. I'm not sure which one, because at times you just see, you know, when you're constantly reading the play wrong, I'm not sure that's an effort level.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's fair. It's a fair criticism, and there's definitely something there. But I think that, the narrative on Justin Schultz heading into this season was he sort of, I believe, had learned his lesson as far as trying to be on his own program and do it his own way, and that he was ready to put some trust in his head coach, put some trust in his coaching staff, and basically say, all right, tell me what to do and how to do it. I'm ready to try and take a step here. And so, 1 point in 12 games isn't nearly where he would like to be. He's averaging over 21 minutes a game at this point. I still think that, and a back injury is tough. I think it's going to take a while to get completely right. I think that the back half of this season, the last 40 games of the season, are going to tell us a lot about the future of Justin Schultz, because I think it's going to take him some time to really get used to this system, to get himself healthy and right, and for Todd to have a real chance to affect this player over a number of months. And that's going to happen in the back half of the season. And to me, that's where the future of Justin Schultz will be written.
Fair enough. And the other thing is, somehow he's going to have to improve his shot, right? If you're going to be a power play defenseman, you have to have a slap shot.
Well, at least he's trying.
Yeah.
At least he's taking slap shots. I mean, he's looking for them a little bit, but I agree with that. You can't send in a crossbar height snapshot every power play. I mean, remember, it worked, like, I think in his second or third NHL game, did he score against Detroit that way? Snapshot from the point on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's been looking for that same goal ever since. You know, and it's not there, not against most NHL goalies. So I agree. He's got to have a one-timer. He's got to have a better slap shot. And I remember another player that we said that about, who was supposed to be a power play specialist on this team that will probably be playing in tonight's game, but who never put the time in to work on that. And it'll be interesting. I mean, with this coaching staff, there is lots of extra time put in. Jay Woodcroft has the shooting club. They go out every day before practice, 15 or 20 minutes before the rest of the team gets out there, and they work on that exact kind of stuff, shooting and quick hands and shooting drills, and there's plenty of opportunity with this staff to get out there and work on it. And Justin Schultz needs to be the kind of player who gets out there early and works on that shot from the point, works on that one-timer. The more weapons he can give himself, the more chance he has to be contributing on the power play.
Eric, down 11 at the half. What was said in the locker room?
We're only down 9.
Nilsson.
Really?
Nilsson just came into the studio.
Really? Honestly? Has that had to happen right now? What the heck, man? I mean, I put up with it on the morning show, but right now?
Man, I have to say, that's... Well, he's been seething over that all day because, I don't know, you played
There is no way that Nilsson's in the studio right now. That is all you.
Buddy, honestly, you can ask Mageau 100%. I have never played... I don't have the capacity to hit any of the quick buttons on our studio. That's 100% fact.
So get him on the mic if he's there. Tell him to man up and get on the microphone.
What do you want to say to him?
He's not there.
He's just laughing.
He's not there.
Well, I can see him right now. 6'5".
That's brutal, man. You know what? I put up enough of that garbage. You know what?
Well, actually, you know why that happened, Rashaq? Good. Nilsson actually texted me and begged me to play it because him and I, we bonded at Grey Cup, and I said, sure, I'll play it because I got a chuckle after what happened this morning.
All right. Well, it's good to know where you stand in this war, Jason. It's good to know.
Hey, buddy, you know what? I'm basically Switzerland in this right now. I'm just the innocent bystander who gets a chuckle on both sides.
I think this was your idea.
No
was
chance.
This your idea?
I wish it was my idea. No. I had a little, because honestly, I was not listening this morning. I did not know what happened until people inform me of Eric's and yours and Will Fraser's, which I felt was very genius, right? Because I knew you, after listening to you complain about it for 3 days, I knew you'd have to come back with something. Like, you're just so bitter. You're like,
Well, I mean, and the best part of it was Dusty, like, he had no idea what was going on. He actually was like, oh, somehow the computer, it switched, and so I'll fix that for you, and then I'll play. I was like, no, man, no. What I was hoping would happen is he would think he was playing the clip, and then he would play one of himself sounding stupid. It didn't quite work out that way, But yeah, no, he got served a little bit of humble pie this morning, and now he's using you to try and fight his battles because he doesn't have a show for 3 days now, which I'm sure just drives him nuts.
Well, the thing is, Rashog, of all the clips that that everybody plays, none of them come close to this.
It's a bouquet of enjoyment coming in my mouth there.
Stretch. And he's the dearly departed. Like, he's not even with us anymore. Like, he can't even fight back. He's not even allowed on our airwaves anymore to fight back for himself.
That one, he's still, I see Struds all the time. And he's still, he laughed, but he's still kind of bitter. He's like, yeah, the worst part. And he knows, he accepts it because, hey, if you ever said anything that foolish, you deserve to have it brought back up.
Now, Majot play those from his computer behind the glass, or do you play them where?
No, Majot plays. I don't touch any of that stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's not on your computer.
No, I'm not the Chris Jones of the studio like Nielsen. I don't need to be in control of everything. I let Majot do it. Yeah.
Well, listen, now that you've sided so clearly with Dusty, I've been hanging on to a little picture that I think probably is going to have to get tweeted now.
Oh, but that doesn't bother me. It's a picture of me doing push-ups. Like, if that's all you got, like, that's the dirt you have, trust me. You got to remember, I went to United Cycle, and I've had dirt on you for 6 months, and trust me. So you and I both know that you will never out me because you know that I have worse on you right now. So I'm good.
All right.
I'm
but good. Honestly, though, after this little maneuver today, I will be tweeting the picture of the press box push-up. So just be prepared for that.
It's a terrible photo. Like, at least you're going to take a photo. Fault. Don't have it fuzzy. Just because I was doing them so fast, you couldn't get it. You couldn't get your lens to focus in. That's a fact.
Doesn't matter. Press box push-ups in a suit or press box push-ups in a suit. And it's gold.
Well,
and it's
let's
funny,
be accurate.
And it's gonna get tweeted
let's
now.
Be accurate. It's a blazer and jeans. If you're going to be accurate, let's be accurate.
All right.
Quickly, Oilers against the Dallas Stars, who are the best team to watch right now in the NHL. They're so offensive. The Oilers last time actually did a decent job as far as limiting Ben and Sagan, but then Spezza scored a hat trick against them. If you're McClellan, are you going to go power on power? Do you give Hall, Draisaitl, Eberle the opportunity to go against Ben and Sagan, or do you look and say, Nugent Hopkins, really sorry, man, but you get the assignment?
Yeah, I would probably lean a little bit more towards Nugent Hopkins and try and give Hall and Draisaitl the opportunity to run loose a little bit. So I could probably see that happening. And I think that's a good assignment for Ryan. It's a good challenge for Ryan to try and either draw even against those guys or get one up on him. So I think I could see them going more along those lines. And I think he'll try and match his D pairs up a little bit too. And maybe I'd like to see Darnell Nurse against those guys. That would be, because they didn't have him earlier in the year. And Darnell's one of the few guys on that roster that has the mobility and the speed, but the physicality to try and play off those guys a little bit, maybe be physical on them. He's fast enough that he can catch them and he can play physical enough. So I'll be more interested in seeing how young Darnell Nurse does against two world-class players.
One final one. Has Mark Fain played better in your books, or is he still struggling?
Maybe a little bit better. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm really noticing with Mark Fain this year. Maybe I just didn't pay enough attention before. And I'm not sure if maybe he's a little bit banged up, but he looks like he's really struggling with his foot speed more than before. I mean, he's never been a super fast player. But I see him really struggling with his foot speed this year and having a tough time getting up to speed, and it's causing him some problems. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. I didn't notice it as much of a problem in previous years, but this year he just seems to, for whatever reason, the foot speed doesn't seem to be there. So I think he's a ways off from being where I think they'd like him to be, but I don't think that this group, and this is not the group that brought him in, I don't think they view him the same way the previous group did. I think the previous group saw him as a solid number four that could play 20 minutes a night and be a good shutdown guy that you can be reliable and play with one of the young guys. And I don't think that's the way this group, Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan, view him.
And Sekera, to me, has leveled out. I think his game's been actually fairly consistent the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's coming around. Hey, I mean, the number of head-slapping, boneheaded moves that he makes seems to be getting cut down a little bit, which is good. He was having way too many of those. He's still he's still good for a couple of them a game, and he needs to try and weed that out of his game. Just keep it simple, make simple plays, and not get too complicated. I still don't love him on the power play, but he is better. He's not hurting him like you could say he was hurting him before, and maybe that's about a guy that just needed some time to get used to his surroundings a little bit.
Where did you Google it?
Google.com. Google.
There it is. Right there. Where do you Google stuff anyways? Hey?
Oh, man. That is damn funny.
The one thing I wish we had audio of was his question at the press conference a couple of years ago where he was...
somebody has to have that which somewhere.
It was. Might have been Tom Rennie. I don't even remember. But it was like after a win, and it was, you know, it's just a big win for the team and everything. And it just nice to see the guy smiling in there. It was the best ever. I'm so mad at myself for not saving that one because I definitely could have used it this week.
I'm sure we'll have some more fun in the future. Shogger, have a good weekend. Majo asked it earlier, how many points do Oilers get this weekend? What's your bold, fun guess?
Oh, how many points? So, okay, so they're playing two games with 2 points available each game, so a total of 6 on the table. I'm going to say they have a win and a tie and pick up 5 points.
Holy man, you are such a beauty. You didn't even hear what you just said, did you?
We'll talk to you next.